on Saturday, July 21st, 2001, the Hendersonville Times News front page headline was entitled, "A Dream Rekindled. Cooperative Baptist Fellowship Congregation will begin meeting Sunday." And there was a wonderful color photo of Gail Coulter beaming underneath. In the article, Gail describes the purpose of this new CBF church plant. Providence Baptist Congregation will be a place where people can be open about their faith. The writer of the article goes on to quote Gail, saying, she wants those who attend to be willing to open their lives, their minds, and their hearts to God, and to see God at work in their lives. I want us to be able to talk about things that are hard, she said. We may not find the answers, but we can still talk about them. And so, here we are, 18 years to the day later, July 21st, 2019, still working to open our lives, our minds, and our hearts to God, and seeing God at work in our lives. Here we are, still trying to talk about things that are hard, things that don't promise any or any easy answers, with the commitment to growing together as individuals, becoming a people of God in a way that can only be called providential. This is a day to look back and remember our history and express our abiding gratitude for the courage of women and men, clergy and lay leaders alike, to step out on a wing and a prayer and go forth with the leadership of the Holy Spirit to begin a new way of being church. And it's also a day to look forward as a congregation born out of the imagination of the Holy Spirit, to welcome the future that God is bringing about in us and through us as we continue loving God, loving one another, and loving our neighbors, being a place where people can be open about their faith, as well as their hopes and dreams, their fears and their doubts, their troubles and their triumphs. And it's on days like these threshold kind of days, that our scriptures give us both the affirmation and the charge that we need to continue on this journey of saying yes to God as Providence Baptist Church through what we believe, through what we speak, and our determination not to lose heart. In Matthew's gospel that Rick read so beautifully, Jesus is just getting wound up in his Sermon on the Mount. He's just pronounced blessings, beatitudes, on the crowds before him, speaking the fundamental truth that they are blessed and a blessing already, whatever life's circumstances may present to them. He's calling out a piece of their God-given identity. You are blessed. Jesus says, you've always been blessed because you are a child of God in whom God delights. I'm just reminding you of this because sometimes it's easy to forget when you're poor, when you're grieving, when you're hungry and thirsty, persecuted and talked bad about behind your back. You are blessed and a blessing already. Jesus follows his reminder blessings with what it looks like when people who know they are blessed get to work. Jesus says, you are salt of the earth. It's not a command to become salty, but it's a call to believe and remember you already are salt. Each one of us is divinely created with two naturally occurring ways to be salt. Through our sweat, the evidence of working hard, and through our tears, the evidence that we can be deeply moved by another's sorrow, injustice, laughter, the life of the world around us. Jesus says to be a blessing kind of people is to be a kind of people that brings out the flavors of the Jesus way of life, spicing up ordinary days. Be fully invested in the goings-on of the world around you. Be moved by what you see. Be moved to tears. Be moved to action, so that others will see God at work in you and come to believe that they are blessed and a blessing and are salt for the earth as well. And then to make the same point in a different way, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. As we talked about on Tuesday, light is a spectrum, revealing what is hidden and offering new discoveries about the visible and invisible world. So seen along a spectrum or a rainbow, we have a light to shine somewhere in that spectrum of divine light that is uniquely ours, an inner glow that lights our way, that also acts as a beacon that calls out to others who need to see someone shining in the darkness. It takes all of our lights, creating this beautiful rainbow spectrum, to reveal the beauty and glory of God already at work in and around us. What an important job we have to glow with the glory of God. Can we hear Jesus saying to us, believe that you matter. Don't hide your flavor. Don't hide your light. You are a blessing already. You are already salt. You are already light. So what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with who God has created you to be? How will you let others see your good works and give glory to God in heaven? As we ponder that question, that's on all of us to reflect, to answer for ourselves. But when the truth of that believing that we matter, that we have a role to play in this world, when that sinks in, we can't help but speak. It's that feeling that Jeremiah talks about, that fire in his bones, the electricity, the energy in him that had to get out. He had to speak. He couldn't shake it until he opened his mouth to say what the Lord had put there. I love the way the Archbishop Desmond Tutu describes it. It's this feeling, he says, that it's when I wish I could shut up, but I can't. So I won't. I love that. What is so fundamental that we can't help it but to speak up? Where it goes against everything in us to be silent. Again, those are our questions to answer for ourselves. But for the Apostle Paul, an example. For him, it was the fundamental belief that the gospel message he preached was like treasure in clay jars, something priceless contained in something ordinary and unassuming, to make it abundantly clear that the power at work in him and in the Corinthian congregation belonged exclusively to God. Paul made this metaphor personal to the congregation that needed to hear over and over and over again, they are called to a different way of life. A life that recognizes the body is like a clay jar, ordinary and fragile, unassuming on the outside, but containing within it a priceless treasure, the image of God, the truth that we are all beloved, the seeds of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. It's the treasure inside is what makes the jar valuable. It's kind of like the Cinderella story of crockware. It's the overlooked, simple jar that contains the true light of the world. And the more ornate and colorful and bejeweled containers turn out to be hollow. We, like Paul and the Corinthians, live in and are called to proclaim the gospel in a world where the makers of ornate, colorful, bejeweled containers advertise and market their wares 24/7, promising popularity, admiration, and happiness with the latest, brightest, sparkliest, and expensive product. There were plenty of distractions from living a life of simplicity, faithfulness, generosity, hospitality, and worshiping God in the first century. 20 centuries of accumulated distractions later means the commitment to living the life Jesus calls us to live is still challenging, maybe even revolutionary. So Paul reminds the Corinthians, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Good words for Providence as well, when there is so much to let our hearts be troubled and afraid about. Don't lose heart. Remember that we are clay. And remember what the Creator can do with clay. This combination of dust and water. We are vessels lovingly fashioned by the Creator of all that is to be containers of treasure. The salt of the earth, the light of the world, revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. William Clark's line to his friend and fellow explorer, Meriwether Lewis, as they embark on their Corps of Discovery expedition, captures this spirit of don't lose heart. That we who follow Jesus need to hear again. It's in your bulletin as one of the quotes. Explorers writing about this new discovery, going off the map, they write to each other. This is an undertaking freighted with difficulties. They're realistic about what is before them. But my friend, I do assure you that no man lives with whom I would prefer to undertake such a trip as yourself. My friend, I join you with hand and heart in this adventure. Who are the people to help us face the journey that is freighted with difficulties? Who will we join with hand and heart? Don't lose heart when things get tough as we speak and act and live our beliefs that we are called to live into, as we open our lives, our minds, and our hearts to God. Seeing God at work and talking about things that are hard. There will be growing pains that come while we practice radical love, reconciling peace, and revolutionary comfort of God. But those growing pains are signs we're on the right track. We are growing in the way we should go, becoming a group of people who welcome other people who have belief, but also some unbelief, who love God and have some questions. Don't lose heart. Today is our day to celebrate our life as a congregation created in the imagination of the Holy Spirit for the past 18 years. It's a day for sharing stories that capture the flavor of the Jesus life we have lived out together. It's a day for rekindling the dreams, the lights, so that they shine with a particular and peculiar brightness that bring a glow to our presence. It is a day to treasure what brought us to this place, even as we recognize that what got us here will not get us there. Not without the Holy Spirit as our guide to navigate us off the map into the uncharted territory of faith, going with God like Abraham to the place God says, "I'll let you know when we get there. Just come with me." We go with the trust and the willingness to look around and say to each other, "There is no one with whom I would prefer to take such an undertaking of an adventure than with someone like you." So let us commit again to being a people in whom the Spirit has the freedom to move and call out gifts required for the work and responsibilities that are ours as we witness to the source of our treasure. For the point of treasure in clay jars is not to keep the treasure in them, high up on a shelf for decoration. Clay jars were meant to be used. They were meant for their lids to be taken off, for cracks to appear, for chips to happen because of constant use and activity. And at least in the Japanese tradition, on the front of your bulletin, what happens when jars are broken or chipped or cracked, they are filled in with gold so they shine even brighter. What was beautiful before becomes even more beautiful, even more useful as the light shines forth. So, dearest Providence Baptist Church, as we begin this new year of life together, believe, speak, don't lose heart. Testify to the power that is at work within you, not by what you have done, but by the extraordinary power of the one who has called us and formed us out of the clay of the earth, the waters of baptism, to be salt for the earth, light for the world. Let us join together with hand and heart. And all God's people said,